a model, but that doesn't mean I'm plain. If all you see is how I look, you miss a super chick within. And I'll christen you Titanic, underestimate and swim. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And joining me is Kevin Naughton. How are you doing tonight, Kevin?
You know, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking. How can we not? I brought food.
You brought food from Rosebud.
I brought food from Rosebud.
Can I deliver some Rosebud?
Yeah, my friend Marco, the general manager over there, he was kind enough. I said, listen, I want to go over to the studio. And he said, why don't you bring some food?
Oh, that's so generous of him.
So you get the chicken Milanese.
Thank you.
Oh, with the arugula salad. Organic, fantastic. Mm. You're going to love that. I got some spaghetti and meatballs. There's a chopped salad and a Caesar salad. It's incredible. These guys, they know what they're doing.
Have you really not been here while Michael's been the producer on the show?
No, we've never met before.
No, so now you know, Michael, this is the benefit of some of our fantastic guests and regulars. It's Kevin Naughton bringing us some great food from
Rosebud. We became very close friends very quickly.
Very quickly, yes. You're like, I like this guy. He can stay.
Yeah.
Esmeralda Leon is up in the traffic booth. How are you doing tonight, Esmeralda?
I'm doing good.
It's weird to start late.
A little bit. It feels like a mini vacation.
Isn't it? It is. It's kind of like, but so I was home for my for the boys' bedtime. Aww. And we also do Steve Reads to them at bedtime. And so I was like hanging out in the bedroom with them, and I fell asleep. I fell asleep at bedtime.
That's
with
not boy. Good.
I know. Well, I mean, like at least Steve was there to make sure I woke back up. But yeah, that's a weird groggy 15 minutes.
It's little just, unsettling, right?
A little bit.
You're
weird.
Like, I should be on air.
Yeah.
But it's not happening.
But at least I have a son. My 13-year-old is still sweet enough to let me hang out and, you know, fall asleep in his room.
Yeah. And if you ever have trouble falling asleep, now you know what to do.
Yeah, have someone read to me.
There you go.
Sue, can you please read some more? I think they're reading Sherlock Holmes right now.
Is actually. That right? Yep. Sherlock Holmes? Mm-hmm. Okay, if there's trouble there, call me sometime.
Yes.
And I'll get a Sherlock Holmes book, and I'll just start reading it.
I just put my headphones on, and
you'll
read to me? Yeah. That's what we should do. We should just read. I wonder what the sort of copyright laws are as far as reading from a book for people who need to fall asleep. Can we just read bedtime stories to listeners?
I think that if they're old enough, you're able to, because it falls into that that mysterious, you know, public domain territory.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, let's find some public domain books to read to people. Like just like a, you know, every night we just read like a couple pages of a bedtime story.
I'd
maybe
love
not
that.
Every night. That seems excessive. Do we have like one night a week we just read part of a book?
Sure. Why don't we just play some Perlman in the background, some violin? It's like Perlman in the background and knock everybody out.
But Kevin, some people try to like I've gotten people complaining sometimes that I laugh too much and I'm keeping them awake. Apparently not. I mean, which is kind of sweet because we know what the solution is to that. Right, which is to turn the radio off, but they don't want to turn me off, and that's fine. So I kind of am in this zone of I want to appease those folks who are trying to fall asleep, but at the same time, still do my show without being conscious and like you know hyper aware of the fact someone's trying to fall asleep.
They should really start to realize that laugh is going to get them to sleep.
Exactly. Just if you could train your brain to fall asleep to the sound of my laughing.
There you go. Make it part of that lullaby.
Exactly.
Okay. So much for the Soundscapes Network or whatever the music networks that are supposed to, you know, lull you.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you what, the Masters is on this weekend. You can put that on if you really want to. Well, golf makes me so relaxed.
Oh, I could say that. I agree with that. You can keep the music going. I think that this is our nighttime. This is for anyone who needs to be going to sleep right now. We want to help you out a little bit.
The smooth, docile tones of Patty Vasquez.
Mm-hmm. Think of us as your milk and cookies. See? Instead of whiskey and a cookie on Friday.
I'll tell you, Patty, I've had a lot of thoughts about you. Milk and cookies is not one of them, all right? You should know that right now, right?
Go to sleep now if it's your bedtime. If you're driving, don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. Look out for that oncoming truck.
Yeah.
See, this is where I'm conflicted. There are people I have to help both, you know, there's a lot
of... Well, you know, just like in the stand-up world, you can't please everybody.
I can't please everybody.
And if you try, then you're going to really hurt yourself.
There are people working right now.
Yeah.
There are people doing homework,
you're
right? And they're hearing this music. I don't want to make them sleepy, right? But then there are people who are trying to go to sleep. They have to be at work in the morning. Mm-hmm. We're just short at 1 a.m. and they need to go. They need to get their rest.
Yeah.
See, there's a lot of people to take care of.
Yeah.
I have... you want me to put Patrick on the air?
Here we go.
Hey, Patrick, how are you doing?
Hey, I just want to say that I'm all for Patty's bedtime, nighttime stories.
Okay, you want me? Do you have any favorite books you'd like me to read from every week?
I think you should just kind of like say go through maybe some of the public domain ones, or you know, start some classic one with the Wild Things Are.
Oh, that's a good. I don't think I'm pretty sure that that one's probably not public domain. Yeah, because they just made a movie about that one a couple years ago, and a lot of money was made off of it. Well, we have a vote from Patrick. Patrick, I think, and you know what? If you're the only one that calls in or texts, then Patrick's vote wins. That's how this works.
That's the simple majority.
It's a simple. It's simple majority.
We don't have to go nuclear.
All you have to do is vote.
Yep.
Patrick, you know what? What day is today, Michael? Is it Thursday already?
Yes, it is.
You know what we haven't done all week? We've not given away any gifts, any prizes this week. And because, so Pat, since Patrick is voting and chiming in and giving a positive response to something that we were wondering about, I think we give him a Lou Malnati's pizza.
I think that's a really good idea.
It'll make him sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, sure.
Get some nice, rich pizza in you. How's that sound, Patrick?
Sounds great.
Excellent. So hold on the line, and Michael will take your information. We'll send out a gift card to Lou Malnati's. Go to loumalnati's.com for everybody else who wants some of the best Chicagoland pizza. Have a great night, Patrick.
Thank you. Love your show.
Thank you. Oh, I appreciate that. Look forward to hearing from you again. So there you go. Patrick has decided that we are going to read bedtime stories every week, so I have to find some public domain stuff.
Well, I'm sure you will. And, you know, it's interesting, too, the music that was in the background reminded me of Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Oh, it did a little bit.
Yeah. There was another guy who could really relax somebody.
I know. Why did he have to change his shoes? So he had inside shoes, I guess, right, to keep the house cleaner? I mean, like, where is he walking that he can't?
This is work shoes.
Right.
And then he's going to get comfy. He put on his little sweater.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then he changed into sneakers.
Right. But I mean, like, why didn't he? I guess he didn't want to wear slippers because he had to go. He was going to go to the kingdom, so he couldn't show up in slippers.
Well, I think it's kind of like, for, you know, when you think about kids.
Yeah.
They wear school clothes.
Right.
Well, for the most part, most kids do. School clothes, and then you would change into the home clothes.
I didn't. Did you ever? Did you change into home clothes?
I didn't.
We had. I went to the Catholic grade school, and they had a uniform. And then we had. So when you came home, you wanted to get that uniform off as soon as possible.
Sure.
You know, and then put on your kid stuff. What does that mean? Whatever that would be.
Your play clothes?
Yeah, your play clothes.
As Melba was saying. Yeah, okay, that makes sense then. I don't think I ever changed when I got home. I don't even know. Like, when I work out now, like, it takes me a little bit of time to get out of my workout clothes, too. Do you change right away after you work out? Because I know you work out a lot.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, it's best to get out of those clothes, take the shower.
It's healthier,
you'll feel
too.
Better. Yeah. Yeah, it's much better for you. You'll feel better. Then you won't have all that gook on you for the rest of the...
What was that?
Gook.
Gook?
Gook. Oh. Yeah, gook.
God, it actually made the sound when you think of gook.
Think of gook.
Okay, we'll stop doing that. Yeah. Now there are people like, please go back to laughing and or reading bedtime stories for us.
I'm all for it.
Are you still doing martial arts? You're an instructor?
I was helping out instructing, and I haven't been with school very much. I just work out on my own.
You
work,
at home, or do you go to a gym?
No, I at home.
At home.
Yeah. End up at a gym, that would be a surprise to me. I don't have time for it.
I know.
To go to the school. It is a very time. It's a luxury. I didn't even discover that it was a luxury until after I got done doing it. To a point, I said, you know, this is really a luxury because you have to pay to go to the school.
Right.
You have to sustain in order to sustain the school, and then. It's a luxury to have that kind of time to be able to do it. So I got to a point where I said, okay, I have to stop this because I have other things in my life that are more important.
Mm-hmm. I love going to the Doghouse CrossFit. If anybody follows me on Facebook and Instagram, they all know that. I love working out with other people. I don't think I would be as consistent if I tried to work out on my own at home.
And I think most people are like that. It's inspirational for more people because then you have somebody to push you.
Yes.
If you say, I'll meet you there on Wednesday or, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then you don't show up, you're going to feel bad.
You let everybody down, including yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel inspired when I realize that I'm keeping up with people who are younger than me. You know, 10 to 15 years younger than me, and I can keep up. I'm like, okay, I got this.
Yeah.
I'm working on chin-ups right now. I've never really... That's not easy.
No, those are
so
tough.
So I'm doing where I start at the chin-up, and then I lower myself down. What's that called? Like a zero? I don't know what that's called, but like I lower myself very slowly in order to strengthen the upper arm. And I don't have much shoulder strength.
Okay.
So that's what I'm doing that one. And then I'm also using resistance bands to also, you know, strengthen.
I think, you know, what you're doing, it sounds, and I don't like the term old school, but it does sound like you're doing it correctly to a point. You could do them quickly. You could do them moderately. You can do them slowly. A pull-up or a chin-up, it takes a while for the body to adapt to that.
Yes.
And it's frustrating because the first few times you do those, you'll only knock out one, maybe two,
exactly,
three if you're lucky. But then if you stay with it within 2 or 3 weeks, but you have to stay with it, all of a sudden you're doing
2 or 3 weeks. Esmeralda, my goal date is August 17th on my birthday. It's like 2 or 3 weeks.
How far do you get with the chin up?
It's been a while since I've actually just tried, because what they do is they have, like, you can do modified versions when you do a workout. So you can do jumping chin ups, or you can do a ring row. Like, so you have, like, you're on an incline and you sort of pull yourself up to the ring. So okay. I do those. So I've avoided trying to do chin ups anymore, and I'm convinced because I'm a little bit front heavy. Let's say, I think I've told you this. Some of the people I work out with, they're police officers, so sometimes they'll run with a weighted vest. And we went out for a run one day, and one of the guys turns to me and goes, "Hey, where's your weighted vest?" I go, "Weighted chest every single day of the week, my friend." More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is comedian Kevin Naughton, who I've known my entire career, as a matter of fact. I knew you when I was still... A wee open micer.
Yes, you did.
I was just starting out. And today is it's a weird day in the world of comedy. There are certain legends that you just kind of always, you know, we just know they're there. Mm-hmm. And Don Rickles, obviously one of the greats. Did right. you ever have a chance to see Don Rickles perform?
No, I did not.
He wasn't the kind of guy that dropped into, like, Zany's. He was, I mean, by the time you and I were doing comedy, he was obviously selling out huge venues, playing
yeah.
Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
And, but I've never worked the crowd. I've never been the kind of comic. There are certain strengths. Like, have you ever been hired to roast somebody?
Oh, yeah.
Is that something you enjoy doing?
I love doing
do
that.
Do you really?
I do, because I don't usually do that. I usually roast a company or a corporation, or I'll roast, injustice or something like
sure,
that.
Sure, exactly.
You know, I was given the opportunity years ago to, one of the clubs decided, hey, we're going to have roasts periodically. So
okay.
they would pick one of the comics and we'd, you know, do a Monday night roast. And I just loved it. And I'll tell you, I remember the club owner who asked me to do it. He said, I'd like you to do it. And I was all excited. I was like, oh, man, I've always wanted to do one of these. It's great. So then I asked him, I said, can I go after everybody?
Right.
You know, the whole dais. He said, oh, yeah. And I said, you too? He said, yeah. So then we did the roast, and I just destroyed everybody because that's what he said to do.
Right.
And he got mad.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, see, I did one. I've only done one roast uh-huh. in my entire career. And I was hired by the Republican Party in the Southwest suburbs to here's the date. It was September 10th, 2001.
Really?
Yeah. It was 9/10/2001, and it was out in Bolingbrook at a country club. And they had hired me. They wanted me to pretend that I was a newly elected councilwoman of Plainfield. And during that time, there were actually several people running for the Republican ticket of governor of Illinois. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they got up and gave some speeches. So the woman who had hired me gave me a lot of background information about everybody in the room. And they gave me specific people to make fun of, including the mayor of Bolingbrook. And there were people who were under investigation. Mm-hmm. There was one guy who was under investigation and his building mysteriously burned down, where, like, you know, papers that were being investigated by the FBI mysteriously also burned up. So I did all of that, like all the stuff that she gave me and I was like, I called her. I asked her, are you sure this is okay? Mm-hmm. And as I'm doing all of this, so no one knew I was a comedian. No one knew I was a plant. And so I went up and I said, you know, I'm new at this. I'm young. And I know people are surprised that I won my election, and I've done a lot of research. Just wanted to get to know everybody. And I did all, and like people were like running around, like yelling at each other. It was brutal. The mayor of Bolingbrook had been arrested, had been pulled over for a DUI, and I made a joke about whether or not he had gotten out of the ticket by the same way I got beads at Mardi Gras, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. I did not. Uh-huh. Oh, it was. I eventually like told everybody I was a comic, and I started doing some material. I took my check and I drove home very quickly.
Did you?
Yeah.
Good. Because
yeah.
that's what you do. When they give you that kind of a guarantee, oh, this will be fine. You just come on in and be funny and we won't tell anyone. Somebody else set that up and they set you up wrong.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
Especially when you're a nobody. Now, if Rickles come, but the thing with Rickles, like people wanted to be, like, that was his signature.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder at what point, like when in his career, like he had to make that leap, right, mm-hmm. from being a nobody who, you know, I don't know if that was his shtick before mm-hmm. he became famous. I don't know if he did, you know, traditional stand-up in the Catskills or what mm-hmm. I don't know much about his early career, because as Don Rickles, he could do that. You know, he could go after somebody, just hammer them, whether it was about race or appearance or all those things.
It would be interesting to discover that because, you know, all of a sudden it does, for someone like that, it's an all of a sudden it comes out of you, and it like, even with Andrew Dice Clay, he was an impressionist.
Right.
And the Dice character was somebody he did for 5 minutes at the end of his act, from what I understood, and that just blossomed into, grew into this crazy character that could sell out arenas. So
it's like cable, like Larry the Cable Guy. He was a standard stand-up comic, telling stories, wearing khakis and polo shirts. Lewis Black, who told me that it wasn't until he started yelling that the people started listening to him. He said he was 50 years old when he was discovered.
Yeah, I remember him hitting, because I remember seeing him.
1999, right?
Yeah, Well, I just remember seeing him do one of the comedy show, one of the billion comedy shows that was on, and he did he really was outstanding. He was very funny.
Yes.
I mean, all of us found him very funny, but he was very emphatic and passionate about the way he spoke.
I worked with him one time in Appleton, Wisconsin, and he goes, hey, tell your friend Kevin Naughton he's doing my thing.
Yeah.
Because you're yelling.
Because I'm yelling, he's yelling.
I know, I remember.
And I had no
idea.
Kidding.
He was kidding about that, though. We were at Cleo's. You ever been to Cleo's in Appleton, Wisconsin? It's the bar that's always decorated like Christmas.
Yes.
Yes, you had to have been at Cleo's. They have a drink called the Snowball. Oh, it's so good.
Okay.
It's always, Esmeralda, this bar in Appleton is always decorated like Christmas.
Yes.
And then when it's like St. Patrick's Day, it's Christmas and St. Patrick's Day. Halloween, it's Christmas and Halloween.
You know what? You're bringing back memories slowly for me because I wouldn't hit Cleo's because the staff would say, well, let's go. And we started Houdini's.
Oh, yes.
And then somehow.
That's around the corner with the pinball machines in the back. Yeah.
Okay. And Houdini's is the oldest bar like in the world or something. I don't even
possibly
know. In Wisconsin. I don't even know. And then you'd end up. And if that didn't hurt you bad enough, you could stop at Houdini's. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go anywhere else. Houdini's got you.
Yes, it did.
It's got you covered. But now we go to Cleo's, and it's Christmas in July.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a spectacular place.
Right.
Love it. And the Pizza Palace. One of my favorite pizza joints. I love Chicago pizza, but this is one of those real Italian joints with that almost like cracker crust. And you get mounds of mushrooms on your... Oh, so good.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm... Yeah, the Italians know what... I got to tell you, my sister moved above... many years ago, she moved above an Italian family.
Oh.
The Schifano family here in Chicago, in the old neighborhood. And my sister, she just... Mikey Schifano is an old friend of mine. So we grew up together, right?
Sure.
All of us. So, and Mrs. Schifano is the nicest lady, one of these nicest ladies on the planet, who happens to be a wonderful Italian cook. And that's what they say. They say, what's Rosebud food like? It's like there's an Italian mom in the kitchen going, eat, 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 eat. It's just they give you huge portions of delicious food. Now, my sister moves in, and about 3 weeks later, she ends up back at, she's visiting my mom at our house. And I said to my sister, I said, you've been living above the Schifanos now for 3 weeks. How's it going? She said, and it was about 3 p.m. when I asked her this question. She said, let me tell you something. If you would have asked me that question before noon today, I would have said, I got to get out of there.
Right.
I got to move because all they do is yell and argue.
Yes.
And that Labrador Retriever, Fuller, that's the name of the dog, is barking constantly.
Yes.
And Giuseppe, he's yelling, and Marie, they're yelling at each other. And I said, well, what happened? She says, at noon, Mrs. Schifano's at the bottom of the stairs with a stuffed green pepper.
Oh.
And she's going, Cal, Cal. Her name's Carol. She said, Cal. Every time Mrs. Schifano spoke, it sounded like she was crying. She was like, Cal, Cal, eat, 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 eat. Oh. My sister said, I don't care if the dog barks. I don't care if they yell. I don't care if they kill each other. I'm not budging.
Nope. Well, I have to budge. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is comedian Kevin Naughton, whose show Snapshot at Zanies is coming up May 16th.
Yeah, it's a Tuesday night this time. Usually it's Monday, but it's a Tuesday.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got moved up
crazy.
To Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, shaking things up on Tuesday, get crazy.
Oh, man, before you know it, Wednesday, Thursday.
Oh, look out. Yeah. Look out for the weekend.
I know, multiple shows on the weekend.
Full steam ahead. May 16th for Snapshot at Zanies on Wells. Go to zanies.com for information about showtimes. It's at 8:30. and you can buy tickets online. And it's comics from all over the. Is it from all over? Any comics that are coming through town too? I'll bet stop by.
Yeah, every now and then somebody will stop. Well, Hannibal stopped in at one point. We thought we were done with the show, and Hannibal's standing there with a little bit of a glass.
Oh, you
of
put a Hannibal on? Yeah.
Oh yeah, had to. Sure. Had to. And he wanted. It was great because I was closing the show, and I said thank you, good night, like I was done. And the MC walked by me and said something to me, which I misinterpreted. I didn't know what she was saying, and I walked down. There's Hannibal.
Right.
And I remember when Hannibal was doing open mics. And,
right.
And you know, now he comes up. He wants to do. He did 20 minutes, and he was hilarious.
Oh, absolutely. That's
so
great.
So that's the great thing about. Doing a Monday or even a Tuesday in Chicago, you know, there's, you never know who's going to be passing through.
Yeah, because comics are heading out of town from one gig to the next gig, and mm-hmm. Chicago is obviously a hub. Hannibal's from Chicago originally, or at least the Chicago. Is he from Chicago originally? This is where he started his career.
I don't know that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he did, yeah, he did, well, he did, like you said.
He started here.
Mentioned it. Yeah. I used to go in on, when I was headlining Zanies, it was, you know, the Tuesday through Sunday.
Yeah.
And I remember they'd say, we got, Bert would say, well, I've got Hannibal here. He's going to do a few minutes before. Yeah, go ahead. You know, yeah. Keep working. And he always had that, he was very funny, very clean, and he always had that odd take on everything.
Remember, he would talk about the pigeons. You know, Hannibal and I did, we did a Taste of Chicago. Remember Zany's had a tent at the Taste of Chicago one year?
I do.
And we had like, there was like bleacher stands and it was me. It was, the fun thing about Hannibal and I working together was that I'm so high energy and Hannibal's got that kind of like really that, you know, sort of slightly askew take, a little bit really mellow, real chill. Mm-hmm. We had to do a press conference one time for the Just for Last Festival and we were right next to each other and I kept trying to like get him to talk to the reporters and have a conversation. Uh-huh. And they would try to ask him stuff, but he was just like, he told me later, he's like, I sit up all night and was gambling in Indiana. It's like, okay.
He was having his fun.
Yes, he was having a good time. Yeah, that's the thing about Zany's on a Monday, Tuesday. So stop by on May 16th for that show. And you know what we need to get sometime? I don't know. Does Mayor Emanuel like go out to the nightclubs? Does he go out to like, has he ever been to Rosebud's? Do you know? Has he ever?
He probably has.
You would think, right?
Yeah, well, that, like I said.
What kind of haunts does he have? Like, we kind of knew Daly's, you know, something, because he was always hanging out in Chicago.
Yeah, I don't know that he would go out. You know, and another thing is, if you're the mayor of a major city like Chicago, do you want to go out and possibly hear it? Yeah, from comics who are developing material.
Not that many comics really talk about Mayor Emanuel, though. I mean, a lot of comics in Chicago, not a lot of, I mean, like, they'll do, you know, national politics. Mm-hmm. No one's really doing, like, Governor Round or Mayor Emanuel material. They're not talking about Speaker Madigan, you know?
Not specifically about those. I hear what you're saying.
Right?
No one is, that's true.
They talk about corruption in Chicago, but they don't,
You can do material that's local to Chicago. Like, I do a traffic report bit that's local to Chicago whenever I'm in town.
Esmeralda would love to hear that.
Yeah. I do that bit about Chicago. That's very local. But in Orion Samuelson, I do the farm report when I'm on the road to make it even more Midwestern. But nobody's, you're right about that. The only thing is, if it's localized and it has to do with politics, I would think that they might feel that. Maybe they would take it personally and feel the sting. I don't know.
Second City might do some Emanuel material, but not, I don't think, I've rarely ever seen any comics do any material about the mayor. I don't know if that they would run with this one, the story that came out this week that he wants to have a requirement for students to graduate from high school. He wants them to have an exit plan, basically, an exit strategy. Like, what are in order to graduate, you have to, Esmeralda, did you hear this story? That you have to have, a plan, like whether you're going to join the military, get a job, or go to college, have filled out applications and things like that. I don't know, I mean,
I think
it's
ridiculous.
I think so too. I think if I was a high school student, I would just make something up then. Here you go.
Right. You're in high school.
Right.
You may or may not even be 18 yet. How are you supposed to have your whole plan set up?
Right.
You're a kid. You don't know.
It's a post-commencement life plan. And they have to have an acceptance letter from a community college, a four-year college, a trade program, or the armed services.
Oh, he's saying that, and he wants this to be a requirement.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I perused the
article. No. Yeah, no, yeah. Please. But a lot of people maybe didn't see this story this week as well. So it's very strange.
Well, that's now that's a lot. I think having a plan
is one thing.
Is yes,
but a letter of acceptance.
Yeah, and then telling them where to go.
Yeah,
you know, I've had a lot of people tell me where to go.
I think that's good. to have a plan, but not to have it required.
Exactly. Yes, Michael?
Yeah, I was going to say, no pun intended, but on paper, it sounds really like a great plan.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do until I was about 26 years old, to be honest. So
yeah.
How are they going to figure out what they wanted to do? In high school, the only plan that I had was, you know, just stay out of trouble and then get away from my parents. That was the only thing I wanted to do.
Just get away from your parents?
Well, I mean, you're a kid. It's not anything against them. It's just that's what I had innately in me. So it's going to be interesting how they carry this out.
I'm really curious. Are they hiring more counselors?
I guess so. I mean, like, they're saying here that that basically they have to have a, you know, because community colleges are open admission, you can just say, yeah, I'm going to Wright College or Truman, mm-hmm. right? I would imagine. Yeah, I don't know if you have, like, counseling. It's good to have the conversation. Right, but I don't know about a requirement.
Yeah,
especially if you haven't gotten accepted anywhere.
Yeah, well, Mike brought up a good point. If I could remember, I hearken back to the days when I was 17. The decision making process I would be under would be: let's see, are we going to get a case or a keg?
We had different childhoods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had very different childhoods. Let's take a break here. We have an interview coming up. We interviewed one of the, the organizer of the Black Women's Expo that is starting tomorrow, actually later on today, at McCormick Place. So let's hear that interview when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. And the city of Chicago is such a great host to so many great conventions. And this weekend is the Black Women's Expo. Joining us on the line is Verna Coleman Hagler. How are you doing today, Verna?
Doing great. Excited for Black Women's Expo.
Yes, I'm excited. What is your role? What are you bringing to this wonderful event?
So I am the brand manager for My Black is Beautiful. And My Black is Beautiful is a sponsor of the Black Women's Expo this year.
And tell us a little bit about My Black is Beautiful.
So My Black is Beautiful is a platform for Black women and was founded as a celebration of Black women over 10 years ago by a group of Black women managers at P&G. And we celebrate the beauty of Black women and their unique lifestyle and expressiveness and everything that it means to live your Black beautifully out loud and unapologetically. So we're excited to do that here in Chicago with the Black Women's Expo.
And how did this partnership come about with the Black Women's Expo?
Yeah, so our first partnership was in Atlanta, and we were excited to, again, connect with Black women and saw the Black Women's Expo as a great opportunity that was growing and had a lot of heritage, especially here in Chicago, of Black women attending the expo, attending with their family and with their friends, and really kind of bringing that girlfriend spirit that we have on our brand. So it was a great tie to the platform and what we stand for. It was also a great opportunity to introduce My Black is Beautiful to even more Black women.
And what has been your experience before at expos? Because I always love going, and you know, one of the things that people love is picking up free samples, having conversations. What has been some of your favorite experiences at expos like this?
Oh, one of my favorites is just seeing how excited women are when they have their hair touched up or they get a great skincare tip and something that they've always wanted to have someone advise them on, and they leave our booth feeling, you know, even more beautiful and ready to take on whatever else they're accomplishing for the weekend and having fun with their girlfriends. And there's just real excitement. When people approach My Black is Beautiful and they know us, or someone approaches and they don't know us, and it's like, oh my God, this is fantastic. So I love seeing that reaction from Black women.
Well, and that's the thing too, is like people, you know, when there is sort of this idea of people coming together with similar backgrounds, with experiences that are unique to every single individual, and, you know, you come together and sort of have this wonderful, and by the way, at the McCormick Place, have you had an opportunity to be at any conventions at the McCormick Center?
This will be my first time.
Oh! Are you, now you mentioned before we got on the air that you're from Cincinnati. Have you been able to enjoy Chicago recently?
So I have not been to the city in a couple of months. So I try and stay away when it's really cold and windy.
I don't blame you.
So I haven't been here, but, you know, one of my favorite events is when I come during the summer for, it's the two-week festival that's Oh, gosh.
For Taste of Chicago?
Yeah, thank you. The Taste of Chicago. Sure. I was like, I know it's food. It's Taste of Chicago. And so I know Chicago is such a lively city, and every time we're here, whether I'm here for business or pleasure, you know, it's great to connect with friends, and I just feel like that girlfriend spirit that's embodied in the Black Women's Expo and My Black is Beautiful is, like, alive and going all the time in Chicago. It's a fantastic place to have this experience.
And do you have any events that are scheduled for the weekend that are you're particularly looking forward to, as whether it's performances or presentations or panels?
So we're hosting a panel on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And it's an empowerment panel. We'll be talking about natural hair and natural beauty, our sister brand Pantene, and sharing you know, just information about the new Pantene Gold Series product, and talking with you know, a few key influencers from the Chicago area, people we know women will recognize and love, women such as Lovey Ajayi, who, you know, is a Chicago native. And we're excited to kind of just hear what people are expressing in their journey to embrace their natural beauty.
And what is your background? Where did you grow up? Did you grow up in Cincinnati?
I did. I am a native Cincinnatian, yes.
And when you were growing up, I mean, you know, at what point in your life did you realize, you know what, there's such an opportunity here, not just for myself, but for others to come together in a way that I can really have an impact? What was that like for you?
So Cincinnati's a little bit different because it's, you know, it's a smaller city than Chicago. And I'd say the squatting up nature of Black women is a newer thing. When I was younger in Cincinnati, I didn't feel like I really experienced these big pockets of Black women coming together to just celebrate being Black women. And so, you know, every day when I come to work and think about this is what we do all day, is bring Black women together to be a community of Black women that support each other, that love each other, that embrace each other. It's really phenomenal to think, you know, 30 years, you know, of life, and this is the period when, you know, Black women are celebrating themselves in such an out loud and unapologetic way. It's so fun to be a part of it.
It really is. It's something to celebrate and to commend you and to participate in that. I know that a lot of listeners are like, well, you know, why do we have to have a Black Women's Expo? You know, you get that sort of pushback from some people. But I don't think people understand, you know, what it's like to be able to just feel comfortable to really celebrate and be joyous about being around each other. And that's what the Black Women Expo seems to bring to me. To the city of Chicago this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for anyone that is feeling like it's not, you know, it's not for them, or it's an exclusionary kind of thing, I mean, it's really not. The idea of celebrating Black women and Black women celebrating themselves doesn't mean that we're not, you know, able to embrace other women. It really just is, you know, the focus of celebrating ourselves. And there's really nothing wrong with that. We need a Black Women's Expo because we need to pull people together to celebrate and to enjoy each other.
And it sounds great. Where can people learn more about My Black is Beautiful?
Yes. So I invite your listeners to join us on our Facebook page at MBIB. MBIB is our Facebook community, and our website is myblackisbeautiful.com. And we're also on Instagram and Twitter, so you can follow along all weekend for fun updates and things that we're experiencing with everybody who's attending Black Women's Expo.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Verna, for joining us on the air, and have a wonderful weekend in Chicago, and hopefully we get to have you in the studio sometime. It'd be a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, it would be fantastic. Thank you, Patty. It was wonderful to meet you. Will you be at the expo this weekend?
I'm going to try to. There's so many things going on. You know, when April hits in Chicago, everyone cuts loose and has to be somewhere. There's a lot going on, so I'm gonna try to get there on Saturday and to experience your panel for My Black is Beautiful.
Oh, great. That's great. I hope I get to meet you in person, and thank you for your time today.
Oh, no, my pleasure. Thank you for your time. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I want to thank our listener who recommended a documentary on PBS called Is America in Retreat? And I will take a look at that one. I'm trying to, I was saying before the news break, Kevin, that I'm not informed enough on international policy as far as where we should be involved. You know, I know that there was a lot of discussion when President Trump became, you know, took office and said that he had this travel ban and people who could not enter the country from various, you know, locations, predominantly Muslim countries, and one of them being Syria, I believe. Esmeralda, was Syria one of the countries that we were not allowing refugees or immigrants, or if they had are, I believe Syria was on the list. And the thing was, that a lot of people that were trying to come to the United States, a lot of people that prevented from entering the United States were people who were actually already vetted. So even if you had already, and people who had dual citizenship, there were a lot of things going on. So there are a lot of conversations about whether or not this is an attempt to improve favorability, to show a tough stance when there is chemical warfare used on innocent people. So there's I think that people are probably wrestling with their thoughts and emotions when it comes to our first major military action under the administration of Donald Trump. You and I off the air were talking about our own administrative struggles throughout our careers. Yes. with audience members. Zany's Comedy Club is one of the most interesting clubs. It's a storefront comedy club. So by that, it mean, you know, you're walking down the street. It's not like a big major theater. It's not like a Second City where you have a huge lobby and a bar. You walk in the front door, you are in the room.
Oh yeah.
That's it. You're in the club. It's very small. It's very intimate. It's a very long, narrow room. It was once a strip club.
Yes, it was.
Owned by the same gentleman who then decided to open a comedy club, Mr. Rick Hewitt. Yeah. A very good friend of mine, was my manager for over a decade, and had a lot of stories about the strip club. He was very loyal to a lot of employees that have worked over the years for Zany's Comedy Clubs. And I remember one night, I had just found out I was pregnant in December. I found out I was pregnant in December of 2002. And I was house emceeing for Zany's, and it was a Saturday night. And Kevin, as you and I were just talking about, Saturday night, three shows.
Yeah.
And that first show, because remember when it was, and I don't remember if we'd gone in 2002. We must have already gone to all non-smoking shows. But do you remember just Saturday night 7 o'clock show was a non-smoking show?
I do remember that.
And remember how tight that room would be?
It could be.
It could be really tight at 7 o'clock on, because what would happen was 7 would be, you know, sort of blah. 9 o'clock could be so hot.
Oh man,
that was that was the golden show.
Yeah, if you didn't get a laugh at the 9 o'clock show, you didn't belong in the business.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I still like. I remember standing on stage, taking a mental like image, like taking a snapshot in my mind of how great the crowds were, because anything you said, you could play, you could say anything, and it just felt amazing. Mm-hmm. And you had to steel yourself for that third show, so that you had to prepare yourself emotionally.
Oh, yeah. Third show, you didn't know what you were going to get. I think the standard was they could either be loud and rowdy, mm-hmm. and, you know, drunk because it was so late, or they could be really quiet.
Yes.
Because they were just so tired.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but when I'm about to, you know, take a snooze, I think the best place to be is the third show at Zany's on a Saturday night.
Drag yourself in, because it seems like a good idea, you know? Let's go see the late show. It seems like you're doing something like, oh, we're out late doing crazy stuff. So this 7 o'clock show, I just found out that, like, maybe the day before, I found out on Friday in December of 2002. I can't remember which day in December leading into Christmas, but so it's Saturday night, and the manager comes up to me. And he goes, and he tells me that it wasn't a very big crowd. I would say there were maybe 25 people in the room.
Awesome.
Larry Reeb is headlining. Okay. Darren Bodecker's the feature act. And yeah, I remember the whole show.
All right.
And I go up there, and the manager tells me that the guys up front think that they're Goodfellas. He says that they're loud, and he had sat them in front. They were loud. They were obnoxious as he sat them. Mm-hmm. And I didn't do anything to provoke them. I really didn't. Mm-hmm. As I started, they were yelling at me. They were saying all kinds of things. And you know, as a younger comic, it was just before I started to headline. I was still a feature act, but I was house emceeing at that point.
Okay.
And so I try everything. I try to, like, be nice to them. I challenge their manliness, their masculinity, mm-hmm. right? And that's where things go sideways.
Okay.
And I tell them before I go off the stage, I go, okay, just, if you're going to be, and the manager did nothing to manage them, did nothing to control the situation for me. Mm-hmm. So I said, just do me this favor. Just do this. I you know, if you're going to yell, just yell at me. Mm-hmm. And do not disrupt the rest of the show. The people who are here tonight are not here for you to be jerks to the other comics, to any of us. But if you're going to be disruptive, then just do it when I'm up here, right? Mm-hmm. So what do, Kevin? Every time I'm on stage, they yell at me, tell me to shut up.
Oh, really?
Oh, Kevin. So Bo Decker has a decent set. Reeb crushes. They were there to see Larry Reeb. Okay. It was his audience. So I go up, and it goes so badly just to wrap up the show. They won't even let me get through the announcements, like the tip your wait staff, hold on to your ticket, so much so that the manager just turns the lights up and turns the music on. Mm-hmm. Now I used to sell CDs, and I'm standing by the side door, and these guys are in the front. And they're like being loud. They haven't left. We have another show coming in, and one of the guys is walks up to me and goes, "Wish you were funny," right? And I said, "In my career, I've never seen anybody as rude as you guys." And he goes, "Maybe you're not funny, bitch."
Wow.
Yeah, and all I remember hearing, and you remember Angelica? You can ask Angelica this story about this. Angelica, who still waits at the Windsor.
Sure.
She, all I remember hearing her say is, "Get your hands off of her," because I was lunging at them.
Okay.
And so that's when I hear that, knowing that I'm newly pregnant, mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm going after these guys. It's like five big guys yelling at them.
You're going after
I'm lunging at one of them. So I'm just gonna walk away. So I go upstairs, and the next thing you know, you hear running. They're calling the cops. One of the guys took a swing at one of the waitresses and one of the women who worked the door. They had to call the cops on these guys. And I remember you have to ask Larry Reeb too. I'm sure he remembers.
I would think that Larry would remember. Remember that too.
Yeah, I just remember looking up because I could just remember like somebody holding me back as I'm like trying to get in this guy's face because mm-hmm. They were so awful during that show. But what it came down to was somebody who wasn't controlling the room, because it is, I mean, like, you know, a lot of times when you travel and there's comedy clubs, it just like there's this notion that the comics should just be able to handle it themselves,
right?
You know, or audience members who just want to see what the comic is made of and just disrupt the show and yell at them. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's something when you're first starting out and you're not used to being interrupted or heckled, and it happens, and if you're not careful, what will happen is you'll say to yourself, "Oh, I don't want to be heckled," as opposed to inviting it. Because what happened to me was I said, "I can't wait till they start heckling," just so I can destroy them and make them feel so terrible for opening their mouths.
Yes.
And I look forward to that. And mm-hmm. I still look forward to that, which if you do that and taking that on, it's kind of like the shortstop who doesn't want the ground ball hit to him.
Oh, you got to. Winners always want the ball. I love the movie The Replacements.
You got to do it. You got to want that ball every single time. There are so many, times when it can. If you don't. You got to have ice in your veins to be able to stand up there and tolerate that time in and time out. I remember having a show on the southwest side of Chicago, and it was second show Saturday, which is they only did two shows, 10:30 show, and there was a burly woman in the lobby of the comedy club, and she had she rode her motorcycle over to the club, and. She brought friends with her, and all of her friends were just hammered, drunk, in line waiting to go in. And as soon as I heard the woman, I thought, "Oh, this is not good."
Right.
I hope that they either sit them all the way in the back so that if they have to remove them, it's quiet.
Right.
You'll remove them quietly. No, they sat them right up front. Right up front, and there was I was closing the show, and we had two other comics, and then we had two guest sets. Including the owner wanted to go up and try and do some time. So two comics went up and trying to do their acts, and the lady was so bombed, she didn't even know where she was.
Ugh.
So she's just talking. She's just talking, talking loud, ordering drinks, loud talking, and apparently, and I didn't know this, she was not only bothering the comics, but she was slowly annoying everyone sitting around her.
That's the thing.
And we had I saw the comics gathering in the lobby, and I walked up and said, "Hey, fellas, what's going on?" Because I know I got to close the show, and I just, "What's going on? What are you talking about?" And they said, "Well, we're having trouble with this particular." And I described the woman. I said, "Yeah, how did you?" And I said, "Well, I walked by when she was in line, and I heard her talk, and I thought, well, if she gets in there," I said, "Where is she sitting?" He said, up front. And I went, oh, no. All right.
It's the worst. It's the worst.
So then I said, okay. The owner looked at me and he said, well, what are we going to do about this? And I said, yeah, what are we going to do about this? Because I got to go up and do 45 minutes in front of these, in front of the, a packed house, and they're up front. And he said, I said, well, can we get rid of them before I get up there so that I don't have to deal with it? Now, that might sound cocky or overconfident, whatever you call it, but I'm doing 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So please remove them before I have to spend 10 minutes of my act getting rid of them. And people are paying babysitters and dinners and drinks and show
valets
and
everything
to see a show. Now they're not going to see a show. Now they're going to see something completely different.
Yes.
This, you know, which, and some people enjoy that. Well, they got their money's worth then if they enjoyed that, because
he wouldn't take them out.
He wouldn't take them out. I said, you know, because I've done this before where I'm on stage and I remember doing about 20 minutes and it was somebody so hammered up front that I stopped the show and I said, folks, we have to take care of some business. I'll be back in a few minutes. And we had to remove this woman from the showroom because her and her party were so drunk. They just, so, okay, we got rid of it. Now, I offered that as, hey, let's, if we have to, I'll take a break.
And you take a reset. Just reset the show. And, it works.
Yeah. The owner said, no, I don't want to do that either. And I said, okay, then you're going to leave this in my lap to handle it the way I got to handle it. And he said, yeah. I said, okay. I went up and I thought, you know what? I'm not going to let them breathe. I'm just going to pound through my material.
And that's what you have. You have to rapid fire delivery.
I have to. And then I turned it up an extra notch and I went for 10 minutes and I had them right where I wanted to have them. Everybody was laughing, having a great time until finally the big burly woman had driven everyone around her crazy and a table full of people sitting across from me. It was like the Hatfields and the McCoys got up. They stood up and they yelled, hey, shut the up.
Yeah.
Wow. And then they stood up. So now they're both standing and yelling at each other in the middle of the show.
Yeah.
And I had to do my best Stan Laurel impression, of Laurel and Hardy. I just had to stand there and quiet, I had to be quiet.
For the safety of everyone, how does the club not step in? I mean, I've been in clubs where I've seen people throw bottles at each other. You would never, Esmeralda, would you imagine being like at a restaurant where people get up and are yelling at each other and the restaurant just lets them carry on like that?
That's ridiculous.
And not throw them out? If you're at the theater, if you're at a play and someone's like yelling at each other, or if you're at the movie theater, would anybody tolerate that? But in a comedy club, so that is, it is the weirdest form of entertainment.
Yeah.
Bouncers are always at movie at like music venues, but no.
They had two bouncers there that night. Yeah. One of them was running the soundboard, so he came flying up to the front having a nicotine fit because he didn't have enough cigarettes. And another guy was, he was a bouncer, and he was on blow.
Oh,
so
boy.
These guys
run
up. I like
that you know their personal vices. That's fantastic.
I definitely know their
personal
vices.
Yeah, no, we hung out with enough people.
Sure.
You get to know them pretty well.
They wanted me to be part of their personal vices. And I said, no, I have enough problems without those.
That's right.
And they had to run up, and it was the first time in the history, and again, 25 years of doing this, in the 25 years that I've been doing stand-up comedy, it was the first time I actually got a chance to listen to a woman. The big burly woman was dragged. She had to be pulled out of the room physically, kicking and screaming.
Wow.
Kicking, and it was to such a point that I said, let's listen to her go off in the distance, kicking and screaming. And she did. It was like listening to Yosemite Sam jump off a cliff.
That's so crazy. Yeah, I know. Well, enjoy your comedy clubs, everybody.
You never know.
But for the most part, I mean, Zanies has it down right now. They have the situation under control. And I like working that club. It's my favorite club. It's my home club.
Yeah,
I'll actually be there whatever the third Monday in March. And what month are we in? April.
We're in April.
Whatever the third Monday in April is. I know. I have no idea. I can't think. I don't even know what day today is. Today's the 6th. So not this coming Monday. Most likely the Monday after that.
Oh, that's for the funnies?
Today's the 7th. Yeah, for the funny females.
Okay.
I think I need to change the name of that show. I think we need like a strong name for that. Funny females. Female Funnies? Is that what the name of the show is?
Yes.
I've been doing it for like 6 years. I still don't
Female
know.
Funnies.
Female Funnies. Go to Zanies.com and tell me what the title of the show is. If someone help me rename the show. I think that there's something, there's all these like the sort of in the, there's so much out there conversations about the future is female and, this all this idea of womanhood. So you think, Esmeralda, there must be a better title than Female Funnies?
Yeah, I think you can,
right?
Listeners maybe rack their brains.
Mm-hmm. I got a pizza in it for you.
Oh boy.
There you go.
I got a pizza for you. 312-981-7200. We have a show every month at Zany's on Wells that features female comedians, and it's a great show. It's one of my favorite things to do all month, in addition to doing the show. But I mean, as far as live performances go, it's a great show. So much fun. Again, go to zanys.com for more information about my show, Female Funnies, the third Monday every month. Kevin Naughton's show is coming up on May 16th, Snapshots, which is on Tuesday night.
Yes,
moving down the week. I like it. Moving towards the weekend.
Yeah.
That's so all good stuff. More with Kevin when we come back on 720 WGN.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me. Yeah.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Do we start with something good? Because I'm guessing if there's any texters, is there good stuff on the text, or they have thoughts about what's going on in the world?
There are good texts. Actually, people wanted to weigh in about the new name for the show.
Oh, the new name for for the Female Funnies?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. What do they got?
All right, let's start off with one that I saw was pretty interesting. This from the 708. We got the Knuckle Puppies.
Yeah. Knuckle Puppies is good. Those are good, by the
way. Yeah, I don't know how you do the marketing on that one.
Marinara sauce.
Yeah, it was so good. Yeah.
We've got the Funny Ladies.
Okay.
And that was from the 773. From the 773, Laughs with the Ladies from John.
Oh, Laughs with the Ladies.
And then this is a personal favorite from the 262, The Jokin' Fallopians.
Okay. All right. That's what we're getting. That's what we're getting.
There you go. Hey.
Open it up.
Yeah.
Hey, people, want, you know, if you hear pizza, you're like, I'm just going to throw this, see what happens. I'm going to throw it out there. I'm just spitballing. Ooh, maybe that's what we should call it, spitballing.
Spitballing? Spitballing. Yeah, don't leave it to me.
Yeah. Here's my something good. I am very excited because I have a pair of tickets to take my son Griffin to see his favorite stand-up comedian. You know that for us as comics, it takes a lot for us to go see a comic, to buy tickets to go see somebody else. I haven't been in contact with this comic in a long time, so I didn't want to try to ask for free tickets. We are going to the Chicago Theater. I'm taking Griffin to see. I'm so excited. I'm taking Griffin to see Brian Regan.
Oh.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very excited. We're going to see Brian Regan.
You know, I was in Brian and I know Brian.
Are you in contact? I should have asked you if you would reach out to him for me.
No, I haven't been in touch with him in a
long
time.
Me neither. It's been a long time.
I tell you, when I started to do stand-up, I worked with Brian years and years ago, just after he did the Tonight Show with Johnny.
Yeah.
And we did maintain, we kept in touch. He'd come to town. We'd get a beer. And when there was another club in town, it was me and Brian Regan and Jeff Foxworthy.
No.
Yeah, we were hanging out at the old Improv, sitting there, and they were telling me what it was like to do. I was two years in the business, and they were telling me what it was like to do the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson for the first time.
Isn't that crazy?
And both of them had these heart-pounding stories of pressure to tell me about this, and I was just riveted to what they were saying.
Well, Brian Regan is just one of the greatest comics alive. Jasmine has an idea for our show at Zany's. Go. Jasmine, what do you think?
I had something good to share, actually.
Oh, you have something good? Excellent. Tell me something good, Jasmine.
Well, I finished my SATs, and I'm officially on spring break.
Come on! That's wonderful. That is something good. Have we ever given you a pizza, Jasmine?
Well, no, but I don't want to get yelled at by my grandmother.
Okay, so then she'll find out that you're up listening to the radio if we send you a gift card?
Yeah.
Oh, someday, we got to figure out how to do this.
What's with all this pizza that keep coming to our house?
Yeah, exactly.
I've been getting better at softball during gym.
Oh, that's so cool. What position are you playing in softball?
Usually me and my aide, we just go in this room and she just pitches to me. So I just work on hitting balls.
There you go. I love that. So you're doing the hitting right now.
My record right now is 22 hits over the course of the gym period.
Oh, that's excellent, Jasmine. I'm so proud of you. That's wonderful. How does it feel when you make that connection with the bat and the ball? Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's fun, and we've been, like I said before, we've been using that metal bat, so, you know, you get that loud sound.
Yeah, you get that, and a little bit of a sting. Are you playing inside or outside?
Inside,
because when you get outside and you hit that ball with a metal bat, you got to be careful, because it'll sting right up your arms a little bit, but it's a good sting. So it means you hit connected.
I hope I can, join you guys when summer comes.
Absolutely. I think we play at Horner Park in the summer.
Is Esmeralda there?
Esmeralda?
I am here, yeah.
Tell Nick I said hi because I'm about to go to bed.
Oh, okay. We'll do.
All right. Well, I hope you guys all have a good weekend.
Congratulations on finishing your SAT, and you have a great spring break, Jasmine.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon. Oh, so I love hearing from Jasmine. We heard from Jasmine on election night. She was very, yeah, she was concerned about how things were going to go. And always great to hear from Jasmine. Hey, Chris, what are your thoughts on the show for the funny females? What should we change it to at Zany's?
Chicks with stick.
Chicks with stick. Ooh. Okay, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say that Under the Wire, Chris gets the best one of the night. I'm not sure we're going to let that one fly, but I like Chicks with... Because it's close to... It's hard to say without cussing and hitting the dump button. Chicks with shtick.
With shtick.
I like it. Okay, give him a Lou Malnati's pizza. We got one for you. I told you we'd do that. Chris, you have a great night. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Patty.
Absolutely. LouMalnati's.com for some of the best pizza in the Chicagoland area. Over 40 locations all over. Now somebody else calling. I got a better one. I have another prize if I find one better.
I didn't think you were going to run out.
Chicks with shtick.
Yeah.
I kind of...
Yeah, it's a challenge.
Sticky chicks. Wait, yeah. Sticky chicks.
Yeah.
Nope. Because people always say that, Esmeralda, they always say, what's your shtick when you're on stage?
Yeah. Right.
I remember when people would ask me, like, what are some of the questions they ask comics about? Like, what kind of, not what jokes you tell. I remember I had an in-law that asked me, like, it was just so condescending. They were like, the way they were asking me how I do my material. Yeah. I was just like, I hate being asked questions about your career.
Yeah. Well, do people ask you to say something funny?
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens with regularity as well as, don't say anything around him. He'll say something on stage.
Oh, I don't want to tell you. Always, I got a good joke for you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best. Hey, tell it. You can use this.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Nick D is up next. Thank you so much, Kevin Naughton, for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Go to zanies.com for more information about Snapshots on May 16th. Thank you to Rosebuds for keeping me fed and giving me a reason to go to CrossFit twice tomorrow. Such good food. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Esmeralda. And don't forget Black Women Expo this weekend at McCormick Place.